This is Washington Watch Weekly, your voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. Now here's our host, the president of the Family Research Council, Tony Perkins.
Welcome to the weekend edition of Washington Watch, your source for what's really happening in our nation's capital. On this week's program, Fox News' Todd Starnes had breaking news on Washington Watch this week as he reported on a briefing at Fort Hood, Texas that labeled evangelical and Tea Party groups as extremist. And the spruce goose of websites, healthcare.gov, was front and center at the hearing on Capitol Hill this week. Congresswoman Marsha Blackburn joins us with that story. Also, Congressman Doug Lamborn tells us why he is concerned about the UN Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities and why you should be concerned as well. And to find out more about all of our guests this week and to sign up for alerts from the Family Research Council, go to TonyPerkins.com. That's TonyPerkins.com. While you're there, sign up for our alerts and my daily update that comes out with issues as it pertains to faith, family, and freedom. Well, recently, soldiers attending a briefing at Fort Hood were told that evangelical Christians and the Tea Party were a threat to the nation, and anyone caught donating to these groups would be subject to military punishment. Since this news has broken, the Secretary of the Army has stopped all briefings on domestic extremist organization. Fox News' Todd Starnes broke the story earlier in the week, and he joined me on Wednesday.
Now, you broke this story this morning about what was happening at Fort Hood, where these soldiers in a pre-deployment briefing, which I'm not quite sure why there was a segment of time, I think 30 minutes, that was given to identifying domestic threats and evangelical groups, including, I believe, American Family Association and Tea Party groups were identified as threats.
Yes, that's right. A soldier at Fort Hood who happens to be an evangelical Christian was attending that briefing with about 100 other soldiers as they were getting ready to pre-deploy. And the focus of this briefing was inside threats, those groups that pose a threat to the nation. And in the course of this briefing, the instructor told the men and women that the greatest threats facing the country at this point, at this stage, come from evangelical Christians as well as the Tea Party. The what really concerned the soldier was something the instructor said about people who give money to these groups. They said that the soldiers could be brought up on charges within the military if they supported or participated in these groups, and that led this man to wonder if he could face himself or he could face trouble for simply tithing to his local church.
Yeah, I mean, this is getting this is pretty far-reaching in what they are doing. But there's news out today. You had another story that may be breaking soon that the Army is now looking further into this and has, in fact, found that these are not isolated cases. But there has been some material that's made their way into these briefings that the Army says you can't use.
Yes, that's right, Tony. As a result of these attacks on Christians in the military, many Christians have been privately sending me information and letting me know what's happening on the inside. And we received an email over the weekend that included a letter that the Secretary of the Army sent out. And the Secretary of the Army is now ordering all military leaders to halt briefings on extremist organizations, so they can take a look at this material, find out what's being taught, and they're going to find out how to standardize all of this. But look, they're still not being exactly forthcoming, Tony, because we all know that the official Army guide, and I actually have a copy of this 600-plus page guide, clearly states that the Southern Poverty Law Center is a resource to get more information on domestic hate groups.
Let me read. I have a copy of that that memo from John McHugh. On several occasions over the past few months, media accounts have highlighted instances of Army instructors supplementing programs of instruction and including information or material that is inaccurate, objectionable, and otherwise inconsistent with current Army policy. For example, in two recent high-profile cases, Army instructors found information on the website of a particular special interest group that I assume would be the Southern Poverty Law Center, that identified certain groups as extremist in nature and presented that information as a part of their instruction. The groups identified in the instruction were not extremist organizations, as that term is defined in Army Regulation 600-20. So what's going on here, Todd? Who's controlling what's being taught in the military?
That's a very good question, Tony, and I'm not quite sure we have the answer to that just yet. We do know that over the past 5 years of this administration, we have seen an onslaught of attacks on the Christian faith within the military. And we know that many of these attacks are emanating from lawyers operating out of the Pentagon. In this instance, I think it's good that that Secretary McHugh has decided to take some action here. But there was something that I found very interesting. At the end of this memorandum, he said that other training programs will continue, including those that deal with diversity and sexism and things of that. And Tony, let me tell you this. This is the tip of the iceberg. We are going through, and I know the Family Research Council is going through the 600-page plus manual, and I think people are going to be dumbfounded, jaws dropping to the ground, when we reveal what's really being taught to our fighting men and women.
Todd, I have to wonder, does this go all the way to the top of the Army, or is somebody in the lower ranks here that's a part of the EEOC and this other training use this as an opportunity to get in a left agenda by working the SPLC into these Army briefings?
You know, that is a great question, Tony, and I'm afraid that this information is so widespread, and we've gotten so many reports of these training sessions where Christians have been called extremist, that I don't think it's just one or two rogue instructors, as the military would have us believe. I truly think at this stage of the game, it's safe to say that people in high levels of the military knew this stuff was going on and signed off on it. And if they did not, that raises probably an even more disturbing problem, that there is no leadership within the military, and it's basically a free-for-all.
I think you're right. I will say this. I think I can say this with certainty, that this issue would have not percolated up to the level of the Secretary of the Army had you not consistently been reporting on these abuses of religious freedom in our military. So on behalf of all of our men and women in uniform, I want to thank you, Todd, for staying on top of these stories. Again, that was our good friend Todd Starnes over at foxnews.com. To find out more about following Todd and the stories that he's working on, go to tonyperkins.com and follow the links over. All right, when we come back, Congresswoman Marsha Blackburn joins us to give us the details of a hearing on Capitol Hill this week, drilling down on Obamacare, the website, and why it's not working. All that and more right here on the weekend edition of Washington Watch when we return. Hello, this is Tony Perkins, President of the Family Research Council. If you've ever received a letter from me or heard our Washington Watch radio program, you know that I always like to close with an encouraging reminder from the Apostle Paul. In his letter to the Ephesians, Paul describes the armor that is provided by God to the followers of Jesus Christ. In that passage, Paul calls each of us into action by ordering us to stand our ground. Ephesians 6:13 reads like this, "Therefore put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand." Well, you can take a stand. You can stand with us by going to tonyperkins.com to receive more information on how you can order one of FRC's new Stand t-shirts. Now you can wear your commitment to stand for God's truth and in the process, encourage others to do the same. To order your Stand t-shirt today, go to tonyperkins.com and click on the Stand t-shirt graphic for more information. And together, we'll stand. Welcome back to Washington Watch, the weekend edition. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Thanks so much for being with us. To find out more about Washington Watch, go to tonyperkins.com. While you're there, be sure and sign up for my daily updates, which come out Monday through Friday, keeping you up to date on what's happening as it pertains to faith, family, and freedom. Well, this past Thursday, we began to get some answers as to why the Obamacare website rollout was such a disaster.
The hearings certainly didn't give taxpayers any comfort that their money was used wisely. Contractors from these specific groups testified before the House Energy and Commerce Committee. And I have to say, there were some fireworks during the course of the hearing. Congresswoman Marsha Blackburn is the vice chairman of the committee, and she joined me on Thursday. Well, I watched you this morning as you were in the hearing asking questions, and I was interested in a series of questions that kind of you prompted and got a little heated there at the committee, because you were kind of drilling down on the issue of privacy as it relates to this website and what may be happening to the information that's put in there.
That's exactly right. We've been very concerned about it. We did a hearing that was referenced several times today. It was a hearing back in early September, and we had a chart that showed when you enter your information, all of the different federal agencies that this information would route through, and all the different sets of eyeballs that are going to look at that information. Now, we have a law called HIPAA. It's the Protection Act for Privacy, the Patient Privacy and Protection, Health Information Act. And people, every hospital, every doctor, every insurance company, when you go to be admitted to the hospital or to see a doctor, they will give you a form and say, we have to have you fill this out for HIPAA compliance. Well, as we began looking at what was happening with these websites, and as I talked to different web developers, they said, you know, I'm not so sure these things are HIPAA compliant. And as you heard, the gentleman from Serco today said that they have 2,000 individuals that are entering this information. So therefore, what they've got to have is 2,000 people who are HIPAA trained. And then you heard from the QSSI, the companies that are doing these websites, they and Mr. Slavitt said, you know, they've got 80 to 100 hubs or servers where they are processing this information. Well, every one of those has to be HIPAA compliant, which means you cannot have the application information and then your patient database information in the same server. And they have to be in separate servers. And then we also wanted to know how long they are taking the information. We want to know if they are holding the error logs from the traffic that is trying to get to the website, because that's going to help us with figuring out how many people are going to the site, how many are getting through information such as that, because it's just been a mess. And Mr. Barton from Texas and I both went after the privacy issue because we're very concerned about this.
As you should be. I mean, this is information that sometimes you, as a parent, I know even with my own children, when I take them to the doctor, some of the issues that you have to deal with in terms of patient privacy almost seems to be overboard. But here it looks like the government may be exempting itself in the way it's running the Obamacare website. But one of the things that really shocked me in this was something of this magnitude, a website this big, this important in terms of what the president was is attempting to do, they didn't even test it before they rolled it out.
No, they did not. And see, that is one of the problems when you look at the amount of code that you had with the four contractors that were in front of us today. And they basically built this in a stovepipe. They did not look at how you were going to integrate this. They did not consider transfer rights in moving this from one portal or stovepipe to another and then back into the system. And basically, if you go in and you fill out your information that you want to go into this Obamacare exchange, then as you start to shop, your information, to verify your information, is going to hit IRS. They're going to send it out to Equifax. They are going to then hit DHS to be sure that you are in the country legally, that you are a citizen. Then they're are going to send it over to HHS, which will look at your health care information. The list goes on and on, and I've actually got a chart on my website, blackburn.house.gov,
And I would think if you're a national leader somewhere, your cell number would go to NSA as well.
Yeah, I'm sure. I am sure, you know. But I've got a chart that shows where all of your information goes. And next week we're going to have Secretary Sebelius with us. And if your listeners want to follow that hearing, I will Facebook and tweet the link so they can go to my Facebook at Marsha Blackburn. Our Twitter is at Marsha Blackburn. And follow me and or friend me, and then we'll send that link out as soon as the hearing starts with Secretary Sebelius next week.
Well, Congresswoman, let me ask you this question. Were all the groups involved, as you said, these stovepipes where they were kind of doing this work in silos, were they aware that this was really not ready for prime time?
Yes, I think that they were. And my conclusion was that they knew they had problems, that they have informed CMS, Center for Medicare and Medicaid Studies, the administration. They all said the administration made the call to move forward. And, of course, what they did was to put something out that was half-baked, not ready for prime time. It's causing a tremendous amount of disruption and uncertainty in the marketplace.
So it really was, it was not the contractors who are then ultimately responsible for this, because they're not the ones that pulled the trigger.
Well, the contractors did sloppy work, and they should have been working together as a team from the get-go. But see, I thought it was interesting today when I asked them if they met together as they were working on this, and Mr. Lau from Serco said, well, our security people did. Well, they should have had their engineers. They should have had people that are systems designers as well as security people. They should have had their marketing people that could be helping HHS with how you instruct people to use this.
But should that not have been coordinated by the customer, HHS, by them
Absolutely
pulling all the people
have.
Together?
Absolutely, it should have.
So next week, when you have the opportunity to have the secretary there, Kathleen Sebelius,
sure.
What do you think the committee's line of questioning will be for her?
We're going to follow up on some of our findings from today, looking at privacy, looking at compliance, looking at the cyber issues, looking at who at CMS made the decisions to move forward, or at HHS, what her role was in it. Was she aware that she was using taxpayer money to build a project? You know, this website could have been built for about $500,000, not $500 million.
Mm-hmm.
And these contractors took that money. They gave a shoddy product. They're now turning around and they're going to blame the HHS. And yes, HHS should have been coordinating this, but they shouldn't have been just throwing good money after this thing. The contractors knew they were overcharging the federal government and that they were giving a terrible product to the American people.
Do you think a criminal investigation could come from this?
There could be. If they are in violation of federal privacy laws, if they are in violation of HIPAA laws, they said under oath that they had trained themselves and their people on HIPAA compliance. Well, you know, we want to know a little bit more about what that compliance is, and I think we'll do some more hearings on that.
I know you've got to go, Congresswoman, and I want to thank you for joining us after a very busy day.
Sure.
But one final question for you. Based on what you heard today and what you've seen, do you think that this system can be fixed and that it can be up and running properly?
No, because they are rewriting millions of lines of code, but they are putting them out there without beta testing these things. Whether it's on the backbone or whether it is on the front side. And they're not testing this and running it through the trap and running it through the integration process. It's what they need to do is shut it down, take it down, get some people in there who have a credible track record and build this website, and then CGI and some of these contractors need to return every dime they've gotten.
Sounds like it's a good reason to delay the implementation of this for at least a year while they get the website fixed.
And my bill that is calling for the one-year delay of Obamacare, H.R. 2809, now has over 130 co-sponsors on it.
All right. Very good. Congresswoman Marsha Blackburn, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Again, that was Congresswoman Marsha Blackburn of Tennessee, the vice chairman of the House Energy and Commerce Committee. To find out more about what Marsha is working on and to follow her this week as they go into the hearings on Kathleen Sebelius, go to TonyPerkins.com and follow the links over. Well, coming up after the break, Congressman Doug Lamborn of Colorado joins us to tell us about why he is concerned about the UN Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities and why you too should be concerned. That's next right here on the weekend edition of Washington Watch. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
The President of the United States has shown himself willing to violate the public trust we placed in him as the chief executive of the federal government. Whether it's his signature legislation, the Affordable Care Act, as it forces employers to violate their conscience and provide abortion-inducing drugs, or his political appointments at the IRS targeting conservative groups. Here at FRC, we are concerned. We are concerned about the Obama administration's ethical lapses and abuse of power, even in matters beyond our core mission. We believe that dishonest and unethical behavior will have direct and grave implications on the things we hold dear: the protection of human life, the health of the family, and religious liberty. To find out more, check out our report found at frc.org/abuseofpower. That's frc.org/abuseofpower.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Thanks so much for spending the time with us. To find out more about Washington Watch, go to TonyPerkins.com and be sure and sign up for my daily update, which comes out Monday through Friday, right there on the website, TonyPerkins.com. Well, concerns about the impact of the UN Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disability are continuing to grow. This was an issue that was dealt with prior to the election, but it's back. And many believe that being subject to the United Nations Treaty would override the Americans with Disability Act, which already protects people here in the United States with disabilities. But it also opens the door to some other problems, which Congressman Doug Lamborn talked about on Thursday. Well, before we get into the UN Treaty, I want to ask you about information that just broke really over the weekend. And that was a memo from the Secretary of the Army ordering military leaders to halt all briefings on extremist organizations that had been labeling evangelical and conservative groups as domestic hate groups. Now, you were one of the members of Congress that wrote a letter to the Secretary of the Army inquiring about this. And I wanted to get your thoughts. Is this a move in the right direction?
Well, I believe it is, Tony. I was glad to see that. And actually, we sent them two letters. And it was right after the second letter, and after some good reporting by Todd Starnes at Fox, that the Secretary of the Army said, look, let's standardize these presentations and not get into a situation where, and I hope they were isolated, but these various presentations were labeling good groups around the country along with lumping them in with bad groups like the KKK or Al-Qaeda or things like that.
Yeah, there were so many incidents of it. It was begun to be really difficult to believe that it was isolated. And I think as I've read the memo from the Secretary of the Army, it does appear that they too are recognizing that it's not isolated. And so it appears they've found the source of a part of the problem, and that was these independent sources, which seems to be making reference to the Southern Poverty Law Center. But let me move on to this issue. It was an issue several months back, kind of went away for a while, actually before the election. Now it's back, and it's the UN Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities. Now, that sounds pretty good. I mean, it sounds like a nice title, but that title's deceptive.
Well, that's exactly right, Tony. And, you know, the U.S. has probably the best laws in the world giving people rights who have disabilities and making sure that their needs are recognized. But so there's really no reason for us to go into a UN treaty, especially when it would open the door for bureaucrats, unelected, unaccounted bureaucrats in Europe or someplace outside the U.S., telling us how we have to fashion our laws. And that's what's wrong with these UN treaties where we are at danger of ceding or giving up some of our sovereignty as a country.
Now, within the treaty, there is this phrase, sexual and reproductive health. Now, that is really kind of code for abortion rights, is it not?
Well, that's exactly right. You put your finger right on it. That is a phrase that there's precedent in the UN for some of their staff who have already identified that as leading to abortion rights. And that's the kind of policy that we absolutely don't want a transnational or outside organization telling us how we have to interpret and carry out our laws. That would be dangerous.
Now, what's the aspect of this, Congressman, that has a lot of folks concerned when it comes to parent-child relationship?
Okay, in Article 7 of the treaty, there's language having to do with, quote, the best interest of the child. And the trouble there is that in some European countries, to the best of our knowledge, that has been used as a reason for attacking homeschooling or charter schools, things that interfere with parental rights, the rights of parents to educate and bring up their children. Once again, it would be bureaucrats thinking that they know best, stepping in, telling parents how to raise their children, and doing it under the guise of a UN treaty.
Mm-hmm. And in this case, if a child has a disability, there would be this, the UN would set the standard for what the educational standards may be, and therefore could usurp the right and the authority of parents. Before we're about out of time, Congressman, what can our listeners do to help out in this effort?
And one last thing, they want to define it as an evolving concept, so it'd be open to interpretation and change in the future. What people need to do, Tony, is get a hold of their senators. Last time, in the last Congress, it only got 61 votes. It needs two-thirds or 67. But this is a new Congress. That's where they're trying it again. And so
Okay. There's
been a change in personnel. Everyone needs to get a hold of the U.S. senator and say, do not vote for the U.N. Treaty on Disabilities.
All right, Congressman Doug Lamborn, thanks so much for being with us. Appreciate it.
Good to talk to you.
That was Congressman Doug Lamborn of Colorado discussing the UN Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities. To find out more, go to the website tonyperkins.com and follow the links over. Well, folks, that's all the time we have for this weekend. Thanks so much for joining us. And I leave you with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul that he writes to the Ephesians in the 6th chapter. When he basically says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, you've prepared, and you've taken your stand, he says, just keep standing.
Washington Watch Weekly is a donor-supported ministry of the Family Research Council.